Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on another Sunday. I want to thank you for listening to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio. Maybe today you are simply driving down the highway and you've tuned us in and you're probably wondering, who is this guy? I just encourage you to hold on. We've got some pretty good stuff this morning as we look into what the Bible has to say to us as we talk about an incredible subject topic, the second return. And I'm excited about that today, so I hope you hang on and maybe you're headed to a destination or for a family gathering and just your safety as you travel down the highway. Many of you, too, share with me often that you listen on, as your way to travel to church. Thank you for doing that. And a lot of people come up to me and say, Mike, you are the church for us right now in this season. And I want to thank you. It's an honor, and it's also humbling at the same time to think to be allowed at such a place as this. And I'm just very thankful for that as well. So I just thank you for participating and listening to us and being part of Vital Ministries. And again, I want to encourage you, as the Christmas season goes on, as we head to 2021, New Year, if you have some, if we always need money. I just don't know how any way to say it than that, but we need money to fund us in order for us to help us as we do different things, the radio station, Vital Gathering, the different things that we do. And I just encourage you, if you got a little extra outside, and I know a lot of people are at tough places this year just financially because of either job situations or they have had to stay at home for due to the fact of COVID-19 or just the stay at home orders that have been in March. But I just encourage you, if you have a little bit extra, we would love to, you can go to vitalministries.org on our website. There's a place there that you can donate, and just encourage you to do that if the Holy Spirit so leads you to do so. But it's hard to believe it's only 12 days before Christmas, isn't it? People are buying and shopping, hanging Christmas lights, preparing for the big day, a day in which we celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we call it Advent, or we call it the first return. You know, we don't talk about that much very often, and think about it in that situation is Jesus' first return, as our teaching series is we're looking at the second return. But see, in the Old Testament, there are over 300 prophecies telling us that Jesus was coming. Matter of fact, the first prophecy begins in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, in which God blessed Abraham's lineage and said, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people of the earth will be blessed by you. See, the lineage of the Messiah began with Abraham and Sarah in the Bible, clear back in the book of Genesis, all the way through. And as we read the Old Testament scriptures, we will see constantly pointing of the Messiah's first return. See, all the prophecies were studied and discerned by prophets. Micah of the Old Testament, the prophet wrote in Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be the ruler over Israel, who is going on from young to old, from ancient to times. All of these prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus' birth in the first return. These were the few years, the years as we look back to the years as we go forward. But before that first prophecy, before Jesus came as a baby in a manger, yet men studied and waited for the Messiah for his first return. That's why we celebrate Christmas, the fulfillment of that prophecy. And as we celebrate and as we decorate trees and purchase gifts and sit down together as families and eat a celebrated meal together, that the Savior would be the one and the reason why we celebrate the first return. But see, I want us today to travel a little bit back in time in order to proceed to the present. It's interesting, I don't know if you've ever watched Back to the Future, and I love that trilogy, that thing where you see that Marty, he goes back in time with Doc and all that stuff that goes on, and they go back into time, and they go back into the future. And then on the third trilogy, he goes back a long time in time. And that's kind of what we're going to do this morning. We're going to go back over 2,000 years in time and look at what the scriptures say to us. And I want us today, to, as we travel, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. And this is the story of the men from the east, the wise men who travel and follow a star. And we've all heard the story as they came to worship the child, the newborn king of Jesus. See, they rode a long distance and followed a star to bring the gifts of frankincense, gold, and myrrh, gifts that would help Joseph and Mary escape to Egypt in order to get their son out of harm's way against King Herod, who wanted to kill him. See, I find this interesting as we study, as we look at that portion of Scripture and see about the wise men. See, these are the men that they actually think are the men from Issachar, the men who were foretelling. Actually, the lineage they want to even speculate. Now, this isn't dead set, but speculate that possibly came from Daniel himself. These men who studied, they studied the stars. See, the Lord sends an angel in a dream to tell Joseph to get up and to flee the hands of King Herod. Troubling days for a baby, Jesus, and especially for Joseph and Mary. Even in Jesus' birth and his life, he faced adversity. Yet he overcame. He overcame life. He overcame a cross. He overcame death to coming out of a tomb. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the precise moment of his second return. Today, as well, we face a different kind of persecution. American Christians are being silenced by the media and the far left. I believe that these things are just the beginnings of the darker days ahead as we continue in the fight of light and darkness. Much like Joseph and Mary fought against the tyranny of King Herod and the Roman Empire. But let's go to Matthew chapter 24 this morning. And let's look through the hourglass, the vision glass, and hear the words of Jesus himself as he talks about his second return. As he gives us insight, it will also too help us to understand, and also too to understand maybe even the place of where we are today. My first point this morning, if you're at home, is this: wars and rumors of wars. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 2. It says this: as Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed to him the various temple buildings, but he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth. They will be completely demolished, and not one stone left on top of another." See, Jesus was giving a prophetic word, something that was yet to happen in the future. We see that in 70 AD, the very thing of the temple grounds themselves, the temple itself, was torn down by the Roman soldiers. Matter of fact, you can read in the book of Josephus, he tells about the story, the horror, the things that were happening not only in the city walls of Jerusalem, but also the temple itself, leveled. Not one stone was left upon another. Even the walls of Jerusalem were taken down. I've been to Jerusalem and I've seen the devastation of the walls that are still on the ground yet today, clear back in the time of the Romans. Yes, the wall has been rebuilt, but not by the Jewish people themselves. No, by different, as they were overtaken many, many times, the walls was built and rebuilt. But the temple itself still does not stand. Matter of fact, there's a Muslim mosque sit on the Temple Mount itself. You stand back when you go to Jerusalem and you will hear over the intercom three times a day the prayers of the Muslims that will come out. And it's kind of, in my mind, to be honest with you, it's a little bit eerie. It's a little bit takes you back in a moment. It's not, without a doubt, they're not praying to God himself, but to the God of who they think is God. And Israel itself, the Jewish people, believe that the temple will be rebuilt. And it all depends on how you read scripture to whether that is factual or not, but I will tell you this. I have seen the Western Wall, which is a portion of the Temple Mount that was built. And that was actually during the time of King Herod. That was not King Solomon's temple. This was the temple that was built by King Herod. And matter of fact, you can go underground and you can see a major portions of that wall and how it was erected. And a lot of times you will see people going up to the Western Wall. They go and bring prayers and they put them in the wall itself. It's amazing as you stand back. I remember the first time I ever saw that wall. And it's interesting to me, as you go up to the wall, that the prophetic word, not only that was written clear back in the book of Daniel, but also came out of the words of Jesus that we just read, that the temple itself would be taken down. And as I walked up to the wall, these were the stones that Jesus himself looked at. And I stood back, and as I went, and there's a moment that I've never, ever felt in my whole entire life. See, these walls came out of the ground of Mount Moriah, the place of the beginning of the world itself. I never had a time ever before I've experienced where I felt like Jesus had spoken to me in dreams or in visions. I've without a doubt had moments when I've had the Holy Spirit speak to me and I've heard in a voice inside my ear. But for the first time in my life, I experienced the presence of the Father himself, the majesty, the greatness of God as I stood back and looked at the temple wall. You know, as I stood, it was amongst my Jewish brothers. They were standing at the wall, and they're dressed in black, and you have to wear a hat. You cannot go, any man cannot go and not have some sort of a covering of your head. So I remember as I went and I stood at that temple wall, and I went to my knees immediately just weeping as I saw the majesty of who God was. I realized John 3:16 more than ever in my whole life, that God sent his son for me so that I might have life. And when you sit back and you look at those moments and you see this reading and realize what God was saying and what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples that day, you get a bit of a glimpse of what it meant. But I want to talk to you this morning. I want to talk a little bit further as we go into our second point this morning, as we look not only to rumors of wars, but also to as God speaking to his men. We're going to start with verse 3 through 8, and it says this: Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this all happen? What sign will signal your return to the end of the world?" What a great question, don't you think? Man, I'd love to have been sitting amongst the disciples when Jesus gave a portion of Scripture, gave them a glimpse of what was yet to happen. And these are red letter words where Jesus speaks to his men. He says this: "Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yet these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the first birth pains with more to come." Don't you see the things that Jesus was trying to give a description to his disciples? He first tells them that there will be false messiahs that will come. False men who will come and say who they are. And we have seen that multiple times, and also too with different prophets, leading people away. And don't think it can't happen, because it is prophesied that it will happen again. We'll read that soon. But we also see another interesting thing that Jesus says, that nation will rise against nation. See, the world will turn against Israel itself. That's why it's so important for us as a nation, as a people, to stand alongside Israel. I want you to think about this. Israel became a nation under President Harry S. Truman on May 14th, 1948. That is significant, because God works in a ways that we see. A lot of times we see things being done in 70-year increments. See, at the very beginning, I want you to think about a man who went and saw Jerusalem and its devastation. He went and he wrote about the devastation. His name was Mark Twain. He said he'd never seen such devastation and a devastated place. This was 70 years prior, before Harry S. Truman would claim back the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, in 1903, it was considered a Palestinian nation. And President Harry S. Truman reversed that and called Israel a nation itself, all due to the fact of what they had went through in the Holocaust. But then 70 years later, again, another president comes forward. His name is President Donald J. Trump, declares Jerusalem as Israel's capital December 6th, 2017, 70 years later. See, God's at work and the prophetic that's going on and the things that's being done, but it's all because of a place, because Israel needed a nation to come alongside her to help protect her. That's why today things are so important for us, these decisions that are made as a nation. And I encourage us as a people to look deeper into what's being said and what is being done, especially with the people who are governing over us. What an essential time that we live. It's a time for us to be a time of discernment, and also, too, at the same time, having a voice. And I just encourage us today, as we read this scripture, the importance of what Jesus was telling his men. And he also goes on further and says they're going to be in the kingdom against kingdom. And then he goes on and talks about famines and earthquakes in all parts of the world. Man, I tell you what, we are without a doubt seeing it. But here's the important piece that we need to understand. These are simply birth pains before the second coming of the return. Birth pains. Like a woman has birth pains before a child is born. That's exactly what we're experiencing as we look at the second return of Christ. Which brings me to point number three. Many will turn away. And I want to show you this in Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 9. It says this: "Then you will be arrested and persecuted and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And the end will come." So as we read this, the first thing that Jesus talks about is persecution. And a lot of times we think as Christians that we won't see persecution, nor in America. But I want to show you something. In 2019, this is a global statistic. They say 305 people were killed because of their faith in 2019 across the world. And I want to encourage us today. A lot of times say, well, it won't happen here. Don't underestimate that, folks, that it can't. Because a lot of times, I always find that when God moves in a mighty way and we see the greatest celebrations and we see the greatest things of movement, all comes out of persecution. All comes out of trials and tribulations. I'm not trying to bring fear into anything that I'm saying, but these are things that we need to be watchful for as we wait for the second return. And I think the other thing that's interesting is that Jesus tells his men this, that many will turn from their faith. Right now, as American people, 25% of America simply calls themselves followers of Christ. We were once a godly nation. We were once in the very beginning of the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution, as it was written by men who believed in God the Father. Men who actually wrote the Constitution and based a lot of what was written came from the Bible itself. And we're seeing today those changes trying to be made done, trying to make undone where the very beginning of where we came from. And the other thing that we're seeing today is many, and especially even in 2020, a great following away, because people are simply losing hope and not keeping their eyes on Jesus himself. Yeah, without a doubt in 2020, this has been an incredible season. Matter of fact, as we sit and we watch the different things that's going on, people are even to the point of losing hope or giving up on life themselves. What a devastating lostness that is. But I want to encourage us today as we look at that there is going to be a return, and we're going to hear about that. But I encourage you today, don't allow the enemy to take the joy from your heart. Remember, he comes to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to kill and destroy your faith, your love for Jesus. The other thing that Jesus says, that sin will run rampant. Without a doubt, you don't have to go too far and look as what we see on the screens, what we hear in our ears, and what we see in life itself, that sin is simply running rampant. You know, folks, as I sit here even today, Mike, are you without sin? Nope. I've had thoughts, I've had things, I've seen things that my eyes should have not seen. And I repent to God about those things daily. And I ask that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, would help me in moments like that. But my prayer is that the sin in my life becomes less. Yes, you will sin. We are without a doubt, folks, we sin daily. And don't let anybody say that you can't. My hope is this, that we sin less as we go deeper into the midst of our faith. And what a greater time than now, as a nation, as Christian people, to be people who abstain. We're not to look like the rest of the culture. It clearly says that in God's word. We are not to look like everyone else. We are to be different. God says for us to be holy, and in him we are holy. So I'm sorry, folks, it comes to a choice. And you have to choose and allow the Holy Spirit to make you holy. You cannot do this on your own. Trust me, Mike has tried. You cannot do it. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be changed and to be different. But if you listen to the last portion of what Jesus said in this portion of Scripture that we read this morning, it says that all the nations will hear. And when I see that, what he's saying, I see again, revival is coming. The third great awakening is about to be here. It's on the doorsteps. It's on the precipice of the people. You don't have to listen too long or see what's being done. But I think it's going to look different than what we truly expect. I don't necessarily think it's going to come out of stadiums. I think it's going to come out of places where it's going to erupt, maybe simply in a bunch of group of people sitting at home, possibly doing a home church, and revival breaks out and the Holy Spirit works. We know that happens because as we look in the book of Acts and see 110 people sitting in the upper room waiting on the Holy Spirit, waiting there to rot or die, willing to stay until the Holy Spirit comes. And they waited and they waited and they waited, and the Holy Spirit came, and he came with a thunder. That same thing, folks, I believe without a doubt is going to happen to us as the Holy Spirit enlightens us and generates us to be the people of God that we've always called to be. It's at that place where we'll have a significant voice, because we will look different, act different, care about each other more. See, that's the hard part of where we are in our culture. We want a Christmas season. It's supposed to be a time of cheer and loving each other. And I think no greater time than it is than now. But why should it always have to wait for Christmas to show up for us to be kind to one another? It should be happening the other 11 months. And again, the fingers point back at me as well. I sit back and I look at some of the things as I look at 2020. I tell you what, I've never struggled with aggressive anger and being upset more than I have been in 2020. And it is a wrong place to be. And I've asked God to forgive me. I pray that in 2021 that I could set aside my own flesh, my own desires, my own selfishness, and become a man on fire, a man of integrity, a man of character, a man of God. And I encourage you this morning, both men and women, we should be praying for this as we wait on the second return, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. See, these red letter words, as I read in Matthew 24, Jesus speaks a whole bunch more, man. There's chapters in here and chapter 24 and 25. We've simply scratched the surface this morning about the prophetic word that Jesus spoke about his second return to make way. But I love the part where he says this. He says, when the Son of Man will return, it will be like the day of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets, parties, and weddings right up to the time of Noah entered the boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. I tell you what, folks. It says that Jesus will send his angels. He will be a mighty blast and a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest of the earth and to heaven. Jesus is coming. Second return is on the horizon. Be joy-filled. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we can look at second return, even in the midst of Christmas. We celebrate it as the wise men came and they brought the gifts to you of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We bring today us. We bring you our hearts today as a gift so that we might love you, grow deeper and deeper in our faith, and be called the children of God. And people will recognize us in such a way to be true. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. I pray that maybe even somebody out there this morning said, Mike, I need to ask Jesus to be my Savior. Today can be that day. Lord, all we have to do is ask you to forgive us of our sins, and you are faithful and just to forgive us. We bring those sins to you, Lord. We ask you to be the Savior of our lives. We trust that you are God, that you are the Father's Son, that you came to earth. You died on a cross and you rose 3 days later. And then you sent the Holy Spirit to fill us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the first return. And we wait expectantly for your second return. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I hope you're encouraged today as we look at the second return. We'll talk about that in the next following 2 weeks. Great stuff that we will read out of Scripture itself, and we will make it relevant as how it applies in 2020. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.